Accession number 28415, real one.
Ron Case, real one. Where and when were you born?
I was born in Sheffield, Yorkshire, 26th of March, 1921.
And where did you go to school?
I went to 8 different council schools and never learned a damn thing.
What did your parents do?
My father was a coach driver. My mother died when I was 2 weeks old, so what you've never had, you never miss.
So who brought you up?
A stepmother, and I had a very rough upbringing.
Does that sadden you now?
No, it makes me a wiser person. No. I know, I do blame a lot of my troubles over that.
So your dad was away with a coach?
That's right. I got no love for him. When he died, I didn't even go to the funeral. So that gives you an idea.
Yeah. Mm. So did you have some little friends at school that you put your affection to?
Oh, well, I had the usual friends in school, but I can't remember much about them. I remember one who I had a fight with, and that's about all.
Why did you go to so many schools?
Because my father was always moving house.
Was that in the local, in the Yorkshire area, in Sheffield?
In Sheffield, that's correct, yes. Yeah.
And what did you like at school? What were you good at?
Silent reading.
So you're a keen reader?
Very, very. I almost lived down at the library.
What sort of subjects are your favourites?
Oh, biographies. Very seldom read fiction.
Any particular area that interests you?
Yes, I'm reading a lovely one now. Because I'm very interested in Ireland, because my wife comes from Ireland. And there's a lovely one, McCarthy's Bar, by Pete McCarthy. Lovely. Yeah, that's the kind I like.
So would you describe yourself then as a bit of a loner as a child?
Oh, as a child? No, I wasn't a loner. I played with all the lads around. There wasn't enough hours in the day when I was a child.
Were you keen on sport?
No, definitely not. I've never been keen on sport. My interests are fishing and gardening.
And when did you leave school?
At the age of 14. That was in Sheffield.
And what did you do then?
I was an errand boy at 10 shillings a week.
Who did you work for?
A fruit merchant.
Sort of gardening-y, sort of produce.
That's correct, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And then what did you do?
Then I joined a long-distance transport firm, which I enjoyed all the time. A lot of travelling, Scotland, Wales, etc.
What were you doing, driving?
No, I was what's called a lorry driver's mate. We had lorries with trailers on, and in those days, you were only allowed to do 20 miles an hour with a heavy goods vehicle. And the trailers had to have safety chains in case they broke loose. The trailer boy in the cab of the lorry had a brake between his knees, which he used for the trailer when going down a steep hill. And what was I going to think of?
What make of lorries were they?
Oh, I remember the SQ2 Leyland, which was a devil. And I remember the modern ones at the time, the Foden diesels.
So you enjoyed that?
Oh, it was a lovely life. Yeah. And foolishly, I packed it up and joined the army in April 1939.
What made you do that?
I have no idea what made me do it. I think I walked past the recruiting office and saw all the attractions.
So that was in April 1939.
That's correct.
War hadn't broken out then. But
not yet, no.
Had you considered, from what you'd heard, that there was a threat and you felt that you wanted to be joining up?
No, no, nothing about it. I had nothing to do with it, dear.
No.
Just on the spur of the moment.
And where did you go? Where did you enlist? You joined the regulars, obviously. So
yeah, I joined the regular army in Sheffield,
where
I made a big mistake. I allowed them to put me down for artillery. Now, my interest in life was driving.
Yeah.
So I should really have gone into the Royal Army Service Corps.
So you went in the artillery?
Yes, right.
Where did you do your basic training?
Woolwich.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think of that?
Well, for the first month I regretted it.
What sort of conditions were you in when you went in? Did you have... what was your sleeping accommodation? And
in the barracks? Yeah. Oh, very good. Yeah, spotlessly clean, of course. Okay. Yes.
How many were you to a barrack?
Now you've got me there. I was thinking about... Was it called a squad? I was just thinking about 20 in the barrack room.
And obviously they were all people that had joined up rather than conscripted.
That's right, they're all regulars, okay. That's correct, yeah.
All about your age?
Yeah, exactly, yes. I think I was just over 18 at the time.
And what sort of reception did you get there when you got there? Did they treat you well?
Oh, yes, definitely. Mm. Plenty of discipline. I mean, that's all right, no harm in that.
And what sort of uniform did you get?
The first uniform was a brown boiler suit. And that was worn all the time during training. And then we got our walking out uniform, which is a peaked cap, and all the rest with shiny buttons, etc.
And what sort of training did you have?
Well, I was trained on guns, unfortunately, and I wasn't a bit interested, but then I stuck it out. And I was jealous of all the drivers who were learning to drive.
And your basic training, did you find that hard if you didn't like physical exercise?
Oh no, I lapped it up. I loved it, yes.
You were okay with your...
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah. Did you have good food there?
Yes, excellent food.
Did you get told very much of the outcome, possibility of the outbreak of war? Was that discussed by anybody?
Not until when it did break out. And I can remember I was in a barrack room with some old soldiers there, and I heard the declaration on the radio.
So that was sort of 6 months in. So yeah. How long was your actual basic training?
3 months.
3 months. Mm. And that was all at Woolwich?
That's correct, yeah.
And during that basic training, did you train on the guns then, or was it mostly...
Trained on the guns, which were 18-pounders.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not sure they were used in the First World War, but they must have been. Mm.
And how long was it before you got sent off to a unit? Or did you train within the actual artillery unit?
After the 3 months training was up, I was sent off to an anti-aircraft regiment. Second anti-aircraft regiment.
Where was that?
Lichfield.
Did you have some good mates when you were training?
Yes, I did. We were all good mates together.
Anybody in particular?
Yes, the chap who was my best man at my wedding, George Jackson, number 1439298.
Can you remember your number?
Oh, how can I forget my number?
Right, go on, tell me.
Well, I don't know whether I would tell you, because the first... Well, I can tell you, I won't say the rest. My number is 1439131.
131.
You need to put this down, but the first four digits are now my PIN number.
Oh.
And the wife's.
The whole of the world will know this.
I hope you're kidding.
So you went to Lichfield, and what were your duties there? The anti-aircraft guns, what size were they?
What size are they? Well, they were huge ones, which could be mobile. They were on four wheels. No. I don't remember much about the training on them, I'm sure.
What size crews did you have on them?
Four, I think.
Yeah.
It's all too dim and distant now.
What was your duty on them? Did you?
That I can't remember. No.
So how long were you there?
Very shortly. So because that regiment...
That was July 1939, you must have gone there.
Yeah, I suppose it
was.
Yeah. That regiment went to France.
Yeah.
And my best man and myself were too young to go,
yeah.
So we joined the 2nd Survey Regiment. 2nd Survey, not sorry, Survey.
Survey, and what were their duties?
The Survey Regiment consisted of three batteries, a survey battery which surveyed our guns into position, sound ranging battery which recorded the sound of the Japanese guns, and a flash spotting battery which recorded the flashes of the Japanese guns.
So you were at the second anti-aircraft battery for how long were you there before they went off?
Oh, that I can't remember. No, I know it was very short.
Yeah. And then you were on the 2nd Survey Regiment. You were still in the UK then?
Yes. We moved.
Where were you based then?
Newcastle. On Tyne.
So when you were moving around like this, you got some free time occasionally?
Got occasional leave, yes.
So what did you do on your leave time? Did you go home or did you...?
Went home, yes, to my stepmother's house. And
did you get
experience a few air raids?
Did you? Where was that?
Sheffield.
In Sheffield. Mm. Was it badly damaged, Sheffield?
Oh, Sheffield was, yes. Mm. Yes, absolutely reconstructed. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, did you get much time for getting, when you were actually at in Newcastle, did you get time to go to the local pubs and meet the girls?
No, I wasn't interested in pubs. I never have been. I remember a young girl teaching me to dance. Then, before I got the hang of it, we were moved again.
So, with your unit, how many people were there in your survey regiment?
I couldn't tell you the exact amount, dear. All regiments are usually about the same.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't tell you.
Did you have some good officers?
Yes, we had some good officers, no doubt about that.
Anybody in particular that sticks out?
One young officer, and in India, before we moved into Burma, he had with him a portable gramophone, and he played classic music, operas, and whenever I hear them now, my mind goes back.
Okay.
Especially, he used to play them in the evening when we stood down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some lovely tunes, I always remember them now.
So how long were you in Newcastle?
I would think about a year, my love. Mm-hmm.
So that would sort of take you to middle of 1940?
You can put that down as right.
So you're there for about a year.
Yeah.
Okay. And what were your actual duties when you were in that survey regiment in the UK? Was it just training?
My duties during the war?
When you were on the 2nd Survey Regiment?
Well, first of all, in Newcastle, I was promoted. Bombardier.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to lecture on the brain gun and take the physical training class.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
So were you training people that had been enlisted? Or
yes, I was training the rest on the brain gun and the physical training. I was training the rest of the lads there.
Yeah. Mm. Did you enjoy that?
Yes, I did, yes. It went down well, being young, yes.
So you were a bombardier then, okay. And so you were there for a year. What did you do after that?
Well, we started travelling all over England after that. The regiment started going from place to place. I can remember some of the places, but not all of them.
Yeah.
Fordingbridge. What's the place near London? On the outskirts of London, we were stationed. We had a roving commission, we kept moving around. Sharnbrook, Bedford.
And why was it moving around like that?
Don't ask me, dear. The higher ups working queer. strange things.
Right, so. So while you were doing that, were you still training people?
No, not the then. No. Just
what happened then? What were your duties then?
Mostly driving. Driving officers.
Yeah. So did you have to take a driving test, or who taught you to drive?
No. I taught myself to drive when I worked for the long distance firm. Yeah.
So what sort of vehicles did you drive?
In the army?
Yes, when you started there, when you were doing the roving, when you started off.
Mostly Jeeps, 1508 Bedfords, and Austin troop carriers. That's about the lot. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I did learn to ride a motorbike, but that was only once. Never rid one since.
Is that because you fell off, or?
No, I enjoyed riding the motorbike. I'd never been on one before, and more or less taught myself. I nearly fell off when I let the clutch in for the first time. It shot forward and I shot back. We soon got used to that.
What sort of bike was it?
The dispatch riders' bikes then, I'm sure, were aerials, but I can't swear to it. I think they were aerials. Foot change.
Okay, so you were doing sort of driving duties then?
Correct.
Okay. And how long were you on the roving, this roving commission?
Now they wanted me to go abroad. I've got it written down upstairs, but I can't remember. Oh, wait a minute. I got married in 1940. Yes, it's coming back now. When stationed in Bedford, I married. I was stationed at Hutton. If my wife was here, she could remind me. Brentwood. Yeah, I was stationed in Brentwood.
Mm-hmm. This is when you were doing the roving commission?
Yes, yeah. We were stationed in Brentwood, and that's where I met my wife.
Oh, yeah. How did you get to meet her?
Well, I just returned from a long drive with a big lorry, and as I was backing it into the house where we were accommodated, I saw these two girls walking up. I didn't know at the time they were nurses. And I said to my mate, yeah, we've got a date, see if we can get a date for tonight. Okay, so we did get a date for tonight, and that's how it started. Yeah.
Well, you were billeted, were you?
Yeah.
And did you have a nice family you were billeted with?
Oh, it wasn't that kind, dear. We
you just took over
the whole house, yes.
Did you? Yeah.
Yes, and I've still got a photo of it upstairs.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how did that happen? You slept there, and did you cook for yourself, or did you go
The regimental cooks was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole regiment was scattered around in different houses.
I see.
Yeah.
So these nurses said, yes, we'll see you tonight, and then what happened?
Well, what you say? Oh, yes, I must tell you.
Where did you go?
I must tell you this. It's still a standing joke. We celebrated our engagement with a company cup of tea out of a crack cup in the naffy.
Know how to give a girl a good time, dear?
No.
So how long have you been, had you...
Our first walk was in the local graveyard, reading the gravestones. How romantic.
So you just clicked, did you?
Yes. She appealed to me. Not so much the appearance, but the character. Yeah. And that's how she looked then.
Oh, very nice, yes.
She's Irish, so she has a beautiful head of hair. And the hairdressers down here can't cope with it, it's too strong. That's why we have to have the same one every time. Yeah.
So, how long did this romance go on before you got engaged?
Very short. We got engaged more or less after a couple of months, I think.
And you were still stationed?
Still stationed in the same place,
yeah,
yes.
So you're lucky you hadn't been moved away.
That's correct, yeah.
So, where did you used to do your romancing?
Around Brentwood, Hutton Mount, and she was in charge of orphan children in the hospital, but that's all gone now, it's all been demolished. And
so did you go to the pictures or dancing?
Well, that's all we could do, pictures, yeah. Yes, yeah. Because we had very little money, mm. And neither of us were interested in pubs and things like that. I couldn't dance. Although she's a good Irish dancer, which is different dancing, of course. So it was most of the pictures.
So how much money did you get a week in those days?
I think it was about 7 shillings. And out of that, you had to pay your cleaning equipment. But I can't swear to that. I know it was very little. And when we got married, I only had £10 in my pocket.
So you got engaged a couple of months later. And then how long before you got married?
Well, I was married 19th of September 1942. And then about...
Where did you get married?
Brentwood, where we were stationed at the time.
In the local church?
Wait a minute. Yes, Brentwood, yes, yeah. That's right. In a little local church which is now turned into a cathedral.
And how many of your mates did you have there?
Oh, just one, my best man. Yeah. And he's the one who joined up with me.
Uh-huh. And did your wife manage to get a wedding dress or hire a
wedding? We had a lovely wedding. She had a white wedding dress. And some friend allowed us to use their house for the reception. We had the cake, we had the confetti, we had the lot.
Okay.
Yes. All on 10 quid.
Did you manage to get away for a honeymoon together?
Yes. My wife then was evacuated with the children down to Cornwall, St. Moritz Hotel, St. Moritz Hotel, can't think of the place, near Trebethick anyhow. I lost a friend.
So we
had my honeymoon there. She went down with the orphan children, and they accommodated the St. Moritz Hotel. So when I was due for embarkation leave, I went down there and joined her. And when we sailed, she could see the convoy from where she was.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So you got married in September, and then what happened between... Had she been moved to Cornwall just after that, or did you have some time together before you?
She was moved to Cornwall after that.
Yeah.
After we married.
So did you have a little honeymoon somewhere? You went down to Cornwall.
Oh yes, we had a honeymoon in Shawnbrook, Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and a lovely lady. I was sorry we lost touch. Of course, she's obviously dead now. She's an elderly lady. She's a widow. And when we had our meal, my wife looked at the china. She said, "Oh, I've got, and it says cups and saucers or something exactly the same. It had roses on." And when we unpacked our case in the honeymoon, there was one of the plates she kindly put in for us. Oh, she never said anything.
Nice thought, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
We're only talking about it recently, and one of my daughters has got that plate now.
So. After you got married, were you able to spend time together, or did you have to go back to Billets?
No, I had to go back to Billets, yes. And then, it's all vague now, but yeah, we went to Cromer. That's right, I remember Cromer, because I used to save up my sweet coupons and send the chocolate to her. She always remembers that too. Yeah.
And so, did you stay in that area? For a little while.
Cromer.
No, in the where you were stationed.
Well, we were stationed in... Oh, yes, we were stationed in Cromer. Mm. Yes, we stayed there not a long time. I should think about a month or so.
Yeah. And during this time, did you know that you were going to be going to Burma?
Not at all, dear. As a matter of fact, it was also a secret. In Cromer, each night... The whole regiment used to assemble outside in the road and march round and round and come back to the billet. And that was just to put the local population at ease, to get used to us. And we used to have to carry our water bottles full and our knapsack full of rations, which were heavy. So one night my mate and I said, "To hell with this, I'm not filling the water bottle up and I'm not taking the rations and leaving a meal kit bag walking round like that." We dropped a clanger, because this time when we went walking round, we didn't come back to the billet. We got on a train. And of course the local population didn't know any different, you see, we'd gone and nobody knew. And that was the idea of the whole exercise, marching round the town.
So where did you go?
I remember we passed through Sheffield, being blackout, you couldn't see where you were, so I put my head out and I spoke to a porter. "Where are we, chum?" "You're in Sheffield." I thought, "Good God, I only live across the road there." And then we finished up in Liverpool, and that's where we embarked.
And at that point you didn't know you were going to Burma?
No, dear, we didn't know. We were issued with pith helmets, which are obsolete now, of course, and light clothing. We didn't know where. We thought we were going to Africa or a place like that. We had no idea.
And were you able to tell your wife what was happening?
No, not at all, because everything was censored, you see.
So she wasn't aware that you'd gone, virtually?
Well, I was able to tell her when we were sailing. I don't know how I managed it, but I know she saw the convoy as it went off round Cornwall, because there was only one convoy at that time. So it must have been the one she saw. I learnt afterwards, after we'd sailed, no, I couldn't get in touch with her because we weren't allowed, obviously. Couldn't write, couldn't telephone. But I learnt afterwards, during the war, that that was the only convoy that went off at that time. And I've got record of it upstairs. And she says she saw the convoy, all the ships, going round the head of Cornwall on its way.
So you left from Liverpool. Did they give you a load of injections and things before you
went? Oh, God, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, you went 24 hours off duty. Yeah, your arm swelled up like the devil. Yeah.
So how long did it take you? What route did you take on the ship? Which ship did you go on?
I went on the Britannic. She's now scrapped. She's a lovely ship. Passenger ship converted. Yeah. Soon after we left Liverpool, we were engaged with submarines. There were submarines around, and I remember seeing the destroyers and the corvettes dropping their depth charges. It was very interesting.
Were you worried?
No, at that age you don't worry. No, it was all exciting.
Yeah. How did you cope with being on board? Were you seasick? Or?
Do you know, I've been in some storms. I came across the Bay of Biscay in a storm, and I've never once in my life been seasick. And yet some of the crew were.
What time of year was it that you left?
January
1943.
Yes, I got it written down there. Oh, yes. Yes.
So you left from Liverpool, and what route did you take?
Well, we finished. The first port of call was Freetown, Sierra Leone. So we were at sea for about. Would it be 2 months? I can't remember. We called at Freetown, Sierra Leone, to take on fresh water, but we weren't allowed to go ashore.
Did you have lots of people coming by the side of the
Yeah, the little boat? What you call the bum boats. That's right. Yeah, and the little boys driving around for coins and all that business. Yeah, mm. Yeah, it still goes on, of course.
Yeah. Mm.
And where would you go from there? From Freetown, we finished up. Ah, yes, Cape Town. We had 5 weeks in Cape Town. And the people there were lovely.
Was it a different world there?
A different
wartime
world.
London and Britain.
There's one thing I remember. When we were at sea, if one of the ships break